does the St. Raymond Anatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith. Hi, I'm Ann DeSantis, Executive Director. In 2015, the Mercedarian Friars came together because they wanted to start a foundation to help families in crisis. And that's exactly what we've been doing over these years, whether it be something to do with divorce, separation, trauma, job loss, loss of a loved one, or other adversities. We've helped so many families get through those tough times through the spiritual works of mercy. We'd love to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us for our services. They are prayer, priestly consultation, podcasts and videos, and programs and events. We look forward to hearing from you. Just go to nonatus.org and get in touch with me. I look forward to hearing from you. God bless.
Fiat Ministry Network and Patchwork Heart Ministry present Journeys in Faith. Now, here's Ann DeSantis.
Good evening. Welcome to Journeys in Faith here on Fiat Ministry Network. This is Ann DeSantis. It's great to be here because I have another wonderful guest for all of you this evening. I have Deacon Thomas Strometz. I want to introduce you. Deacon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and Deacon Thomas, he is at St. Patrick's Parish in Malvern, Pennsylvania. He is also the Chief Communication Officer at Chartwell Law Offices and the President of the Chapter of Legatus in Philadelphia. So there's so much to talk about. The show is called Journeys in Faith, so we always start out with your own personal faith journey for this half of the show. Tell us a little bit about your faith and your family.
Well, thank you again for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. My faith journey is, you know, I'll sum it up very quickly and then I'll go into a little more detail. God is very good. And God is working on all of us, whether we realize it or not, pulling us towards Him and His incredible love and mercy and joy. So that's really what it all comes down to. I grew up in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb outside of Philadelphia. And my mom was Catholic and my dad was Lutheran. And I went to Catholic school. I was an altar server and really enjoyed St. Bernadette's Catholic school in Drexel Hill. And I'll give them a little plug because I got out of there in 83 before I went to high school, but in the 90s, and your listeners can Google this, there was actually a miracle at St. Bernadette's in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, with a teenage girl who had an incurable spinal condition. And on the fourth day of a novena, I think it was around 1992 or 93, she was cured. And it counted as a miracle towards the canonization of Mother Aviat, who was the foundress of this this order of nuns. But that's where it all started, at St. Bernadette's. And then I went to Bonner High School outside of Philadelphia. It's a Catholic high school. Then I went to St. Joe's University, got an accounting major. And my faith was very important to me growing up. I received my sacraments and went to church every Sunday. And but I will say, and you know, this is part of our faith journey, right? That sometimes there's ups and downs, and sometimes we get into a little bit of a holding pattern, or we're on autopilot. And that's kind of what happened to me when I came out of college from St. Joe's. I went to law school, and my faith was just kind of like in a holding pattern through my late teens and early 20s. And then in my late 20s, I met my wife, Donna, and she was not Catholic. So everything was perfect. It was like, you know, a Cinderella story type of thing. She and I fell in love right away. But the only thing that was an issue was that I was Catholic and she wasn't. And she didn't understand Catholicism. And she asked all these questions that I tried to answer as best I could, but had learned it in, you know, eighth grade or sophomore year in high school. So I couldn't really explain it as well as I should have. And to make a long story short, she went through the RCIA program through the Catholic Church. And the reason I bring this up is because it was a huge step in my faith journey. Because when I came out of college, I'd say I was like here at one level with my faith. And then when Donna went through RCIA, I went to every class with her. And my faith went to a whole nother level, because as an adult, I got to really learn in a deep way about our faith. And I'm like, this is amazing. So my faith went to another level, and the Holy Spirit continued to work on me. And we moved into a parish in Paoli called St. Norbert's. I joined a men's gospel reflection group on Friday mornings, and we would read the gospel for the coming Sunday. And then my faith went to yet another level, bonding with these men, talking about the gospel for the coming Sunday. And then I felt called to the diaconate. I describe it as a very gentle and peaceful recurring thought that over time didn't go away. It did not cause me anxiety. It was a peaceful thought, kind of like the waves of a lake lapping on the shore, just a gentle recurring lapping of the waves, a gentle recurring thought. Ultimately, I decided to go into the diaconal program in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And I had one of those moments that I call transfiguration moments in people's lives, like Peter, James, and John on Mount Tabor, when they got to, you know, experience Christ up close as to who he really was, the Son of God. When I ultimately mailed my letter to apply to the diaconal program, a sense of peace and joy came over me that I had never experienced before in my life, that told me that I was doing the right thing. Because when God wants you to do something, there's not like a billboard on I-95 or by the side of the road that says, you know, hey, Tom, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to listen with your ears and your heart and your mind. And if you're tuned in through prayer and discernment, then you hope to figure out what it is he's telling you. So when I finally made the decision to apply to the program to become a deacon after years of discernment and trying to figure it out, you know, if it was the right thing for me to do. And I mailed that letter and I put it in the mailbox. There was an incredible feeling of joy and peace that came over me, which was great. And then the journey started, and then there were ups and downs during the diaconal journey, just like life, right? So what I've come to discern in my own personal faith journey is that everything that happens to us, good or bad, God is going to use that experience to draw us closer to him. And that's really the point of our existence, is to be as close to Christ as we possibly can. And this is not our home, as you know, and we are journeying towards our eternal life. And during this process, this process of life, those things that happen to us, our experiences, our relationships with people, the ups and downs, if our hearts and minds are open, they pull us towards Christ. So that's what happened during my 7-year diaconal journey, with the ups and downs of class. I was working full-time as a lawyer, going to school a couple nights a week, workshops, you know, one Saturday a month, things like that, homiletics class, all these things. The Lord, and I can look back on my diaconal journey, just like the rest of my life, and see where the Lord was pulling me out of love, you know, not against my free will, but pulling me like a magnet of love, like a magnet of love pulling me towards him, because he knows that that the closer we are to him, the better life is. The closer we are to God, the better life is. So then I became ordained by God's grace, you know, and it's been amazing. And, you know, I can look back and see that my faith went to another level with each one of those experiences, the RCIA journey with my wife, the faith sharing group and gospel reflection group with my guy friends, and then the diaconal journey. And I'm convinced now that we all have to make an effort and participate in our own faith journey. We are responsible for our own faith journey, and we participate in our own salvation because we cooperate with God's grace with an open mind and an open heart. We cooperate with God's grace towards where we're supposed to be. And I know I said this already, but the closer we are to God, the better life is. And faith is not just meant for the next life. It's not just, oh, I want to live a good life so that when I die, I'll go to heaven. That's just part of it. The other part of it is, if we are connected to Christ now and we're close with God now and tuned into the Holy Spirit now, then our lives now will be so much better than they ever would be without God. I mean, I'm in an industry, the legal field, where it's very competitive. It's very adversarial at times. And I've seen what happens to people firsthand, colleagues of mine, where they're not tuned in to the Holy Spirit, and they're not, you know, tapped in to the love and the peace of Christ. So, and I'm not saying for a second that I've arrived at all. I'm just aware, by God's grace, I'm aware. Like he, you know, I was in that holding pattern, like I said, and, you know, I loved God before, and God was always very important to me. I never missed Mass on Sundays and things like that, but I will admit that God was probably one of the things in my life before, and now he is the most important thing in my life, and my life revolves around him instead of God and my faith just being one of the things in my life. It is the most important thing in my life. And I'll say this, that, and this is one of the things I'm most excited about, and this is God has, I think, revealed this to me in my own faith journey, that the more effort we make in our own faith journey, the more we pray, the more we receive the sacraments, the more we receive the Eucharist, the more engaged we are with our own faith, the more he reveals to us, the closer we get to him, and our understanding grows, our clarity grows. And what, this is what I believe, again, through my own personal journey and the things that I've read, that in the lives of the saints, if you study the lives of the saints, you ask, how can these saints, these martyrs, endure what they endure? How can these people do what they do? Give up their lives, give away all their money, and follow Christ? And I'm convinced that they come to a point of knowing, not just hoping and believing, but they come to know that God is real, and they experience it both intellectually and spiritually with faith and reason. They come to a place where they don't have to be afraid. Like if you look at Padre Pio and what he says, the things that's, you know, they all say the same thing. Whether it's St. Peter or St. Paul or Mother Teresa or John Paul II, they all say the same thing. And as a lawyer, you know, who's submitted evidence on cases for 30 years as part of my practice, doctor's testimony, witness testimony, medical records, surveillance evidence, there is just too much evidence. It's absolutely overwhelming, the existence of God, his love for us, Jesus is his son, Mary's his mother, all the apparitions of the Virgin Mary, all of these things, and our ongoing effort in our own personal journey can take us to that point of knowing. And then there's a peace and solace that comes with that that's just can't be reached in this world otherwise.
Wow. So well said. I'm just enjoying listening to your story, but we have a whole lot more to talk about too, don't we?
Yes.
Because we are going to take a very short break. And when we come back, we're going to not only talk a little bit more about his faith journey, but learn about all the other things that he's involved with. So stay tuned here with Deacon Thomas Strometz. We'll be right back.
People have faith in the shroud as the burial cloth of Christ, but don't understand or don't know the science. When they get to know it and learn it, have more respect for the cloth because of that. Science truly followed and faith well followed blend to form the truth. And the truth is on that cloth.
One possibility, of course, is that we have some unknown man who was scourged, crucified, stabbed with a lance, crowned with thorns, who spent less than 3 days within his burial shroud and bears his image in such a way that it cannot be recreated with all the technology that exists today. Or perhaps, just perhaps, it may be Jesus the Christ.
This is your salvation. This is love in action.
On this Friday evening with Deacon Thomas Strometz. Deacon, thank you so much for your witness of faith during the first half of our show. And I'd love to pick up where we left off because you were talking about how everything kind of came together for you with the beginning of your life up until your professional life, and then even talking a little bit about the saints and how your faith has made such an impact in what you do every day of your life through your prayer life, the sacramental life. So let's talk a little bit about your business and what you do with Chartwell Law Offices, and also you are the president of Legatus in Philadelphia. Tell us a little bit about more about those roles in your life and how you live out your faith through what you do for a living.
Sure. So life is easier and better when we incorporate our faith into it. As I mentioned, I'm an attorney. And I work at Chartwell Law Offices. I'm one of the founding partners. We started in 2002, myself and three other attorneys, and in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And now we have 210 lawyers in, I think, 27 offices, and we practice in 36 states. So we have like 400 and some employees. And I'm still an owner there. I'm still one of the members of the administrative committee that oversees the operations of the firm. And I still practice law. I still have my own caseload and still appear in court and all those things. I'm married. I have four kids. My wife was married before and had a daughter. So I have an older stepdaughter who's married and has two little girls. And so I'm actually a grandfather. Believe it or not.
Wonderful.
And And I have my kids are 32, 20, 17, and 14. And, you know, faith is so important to our family and our lives. And our family kind of revolves around our faith. But, you know, we live our lives. I mean, our family all trained in karate. We got our black belts together. Like you said, I'm the president of Legatus, and which is an incredible organization. because we meet once a month and we have different speakers come in to talk about faith, and some people from the religious community, some people from business. And actually, these speakers that come in, they just affirm everything that I just said earlier about the critical nature of faith in a person's life. And so that's that aspect of it. I am the chief communications officer, as you mentioned. I'm a deacon at St. Pat's. And so I do baptisms at St. Pat's. I preach once a month, which is just an incredible gift. And, you know, God's continuing to strengthen faith, and I'm cooperating with that. Like I said, I can't overemphasize the importance of our effort. You know, as an attorney, I have to get continuing legal education credits. I have to go every year and take courses, you know, just like doctors do, and, you know, all different fields in industry, we have to go for continuing education. So I equate that to an ongoing education in our faith journey. You know, read books. We should listen to podcasts, listen to your podcast, you know, listen to Bishop Barron, listen to Father Mike Schmitz, you know, Bible in a year, catechism in a year, all these different things to continue to strengthen our faith and our faith journey.
Yeah, so important, isn't it? Because we're all on a journey. And I loved hearing your story because you did have faith from the very beginning. And of course, you said you had to make that decision when you got to that kind of young adult age about really hanging on to that faith and just taking it and making that decision, not just to make it part of your life. But as you said, God oversees everything, right? I mean, he oversees everything in your life. He's the number one, you know, person in your life, I would say, that, you know, you continue to pray and just give yourself to God every single day. Somebody might be watching and thinking, you know, I'm kind of off in my prayer life or in following the sacramental life. Any advice for somebody like that to kind of get back on track? Because I'm sure as a permanent deacon, you know, you're talking to people, you're meeting people, and we're all on that journey. And sometimes some people fall off. You know, we have a moment of not really sticking to our faith. So any suggestions for them?
Yes, that's a great question. We have to find what works for us. And there are so many options. So I try and go to Mass every day because I know I need the Eucharist. And for my own personal life, I need the Eucharist, and I also go to adoration as much as I possibly can. I know a lot of people pray the rosary. I love the rosary. I don't pray that as much as I should, but I know other people do. When I run, I try and run and you know, stay physically fit. When I start my run, I start with the rosary. I have an app for that. So I do pray the rosary when I run. But I would say the Eucharist and adoration are two of the most important things that anybody can do. And I know people's schedules are very busy, but I will tell you, at one point during my legal career, probably 7 or 8, 9 years ago, I was so busy that I was eating lunch at my desk and I wouldn't even know that I ate lunch, you know, because I was just typing and, you know, getting food on my keyboard and that whole thing. And then I said, enough is enough. And I would go out to lunch and I put my earbuds in and I would listen to Saint of the Day while I ate my lunch. And I pretty much listen to the Saint of the Day from Franciscan Media every day. It's like a minute and a half. And it just keeps me in touch with all these human beings who lived lives like us and became saints in whatever circumstance they had. And their stories are just amazing. So then I would leave lunch and I'd go to adoration at St. Teresa of Avila near my office. And then what I know from my own personal experience, what Tom Stromitz is like with daily Mass and adoration and what my life is like without it. And so I can compare, as busy as I am with the kids and everything, I can compare what life is like with the Eucharist and adoration and what it's like without. And it's like night and day, because when we think we're too busy to do something, that's when we need prayer more. That's when we need the sacraments more. That's, you know, because, and it gives us clarity. So that thing that we can't figure out, that thing that's bothering us, that thing that's been on our mind, that thing that is stressing us, when we receive the Eucharist or we go to adoration, the clarity that we receive and the understanding that we receive kind of makes this thing go away. And if it doesn't go away, if it's not resolved, then it takes it from like a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, the most stressful, I guess, a situation could be. It lowers it to like a 2 or a 3. It makes it bearable, you know, because Christ is with us through that experience, that situation. So I would suggest to anybody who's listening that they find what works for them, and, you know, one day at a time, and baby steps, whatever, you know. Matthew Kelly, you know Matthew Kelly, right?
Yes.
So Matthew Kelly's journey started by someone suggesting that he sit in the back of a church for 10 minutes a day. And then it grew. I don't know if you know that, but that's what happened.
I didn't know that.
He wasn't going to mass, and he wasn't really practicing his faith at all. And someone said, you know, but he knew he was missing something. He knew that his life was not fulfilled and it was not complete. And this person said to him, you know, you need to tap in to a relationship with God. And he said, go, just stop in the back of the church. And so he would do that. And he started with 10 minutes a day. And then look at, you know, where Matthew Kelly is today, all the books that he's written. He travels around the world. And so, yeah, one step at a time. And for people to be patient with themselves. I'll share one more thing, if I could. That a Hail Mary, a person can say a solemn Hail Mary, a sincere and solemn Hail Mary in 10 seconds. And I call that 10 seconds to solace, because the Blessed Mother is so incredibly powerful. She's the mediatrix of grace, right? She intercedes for us with Christ, and it's Jesus's mother. And whenever we feel tempted or whenever we feel anxious, if we say a Hail Mary, we will receive help from her in those moments. So if there's a temptation that comes to us, and we all have something, right? We all have that temptation, that Achilles heel, that thorn in our side that Paul talks about, right? So if we say Hail Mary, when we see that thing coming at us on the internet, or somebody's gossiping, or there's some temptation, and we say the Hail Mary, I am telling you from personal experience that it will nip it in the bud. It will nip it in the bud, and we train ourselves. I'm reading this book. It's in my car. It's a book by Father Robert Spitzer. He's a PhD. You probably heard of him.
He's
amazing. There's a book called Christ versus Satan in Our Daily Lives. And he talks about training ourselves and nipping temptation in the bud. And I just read that recently, but I've been doing this for years with the Hail Mary. So even just the Hail Mary, if anybody's listening and they're anxious or they're tempted, if they call on the Blessed Mother for her intercession, it will absolutely help. Everybody has 10 seconds, right?
Absolutely. And we're saying that at the perfect time. We're in the month of May, taping this May 2023. Your show is going to be airing this coming Friday. We're pre-recording. So it's just wonderful advice that you're giving to us, to me too. I love to hear that. We just finished a Marian Summit with the foundation that I represent, the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation, where we hosted authors and speakers on the Blessed Mother. And so it's just good to continue that conversation, right? Because she is that main intercessor for all of us in our daily lives. As we're coming close to the end of this program, Deacon Tom, I wondered if you could just talk a little bit about the role of your daily life in business and how you live out that faith. You did talk a little bit about that during the first half, but that's an important thing for us to mention, because there's so many people that were working all day during the week, Monday through Friday, and it is hard sometimes to hold on to our faith. So any like last pieces of advice before we end the show on that note?
Sure, of course. This is one of the things that I've discerned through, you know, if I've said anything good, it's all God. I tell my friends this, that, you know, I only take credit for my mistakes. So if there's anything good that I say, if there's anything bad that I say, it's my fault. If there's anything good that I say, it's the Holy Spirit and God. But I have discerned this, that because life is hard and people carry a lot. They're trying to pay their bills. They're trying to raise kids. They're trying to do the right thing. and make ends meet and live in a world that is very challenging, particularly now with, the violence in the world. And but at the end of the day, if we are closer to God at the end of the day, then there's never a bad day. And so when we reflect on something that happened to us, we can either turn away from God and get angry and bitter, or we can turn towards him and reach everlasting life, like the good thief and the bad thief. When Christ was crucified, you had the good thief and the bad thief, and neither one of those people were on the cross because of God, because of Jesus, but the one guy blamed Jesus and said, if you are who you say you are, you'll end the suffering and get us down. The other guy said, he rebuked the other thief and said, do you have no fear of God? We deserve what we have. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So that good thief didn't ask for the suffering to end. He just, in his suffering, he recognized who Christ was. And he asked for Jesus to remember him. So when we live our lives, if we take what happens in our day and we use it with an open heart and an open mind to pull us towards Christ, then it's all good. It's all good. And the last thing I'll say is that people know that I'm Catholic. I don't wear it on my sleeve, but if someone's sick, I'll say, I'll pray for you. If someone says, and so people come to me and ask me for prayers, and I do pray for them. And what that does is that's a form of evangelization, letting people know that there is a God and that I'm going to pray to God for them. So there are opportunities. My point is, there are opportunities throughout our day. If we look for them, our antenna is up, is open. Our antenna is up, so to speak, to God and his presence in our lives, and our hearts and our minds are open to what God wants to do with us. There will be opportunities presented to each and every one of us. And we have to seize that, because you're going to see people that I won't see. And all of your listeners are going to touch people that I'll never meet. So we all have a responsibility to share that love of Christ with the people that come into contact with us.
Oh, wow. So well said. You're right. We all have that mission, don't we? So any final words before we end? Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Of course. Just that I'm grateful. The more, one of the prayers that I say, now, this is like a standard prayer for me when I'm asked to pray somewhere. So I'll share this with your listeners. I pray that God continue to awaken us to his presence in our lives and to our absolute dependence upon him. So that's the thought I would leave, is that we need to be aware of God's presence in our lives and our absolute dependence upon him.
So beautiful. Thank you for being a guest on this show. I'd love to have you back again.
Thank you.
God bless. And we'll see all of you here next week on Journeys in Faith with Ann DeSantis on Fiat Ministry Network. See you then.
Journeys of Faith is a production of Fiat Ministry Network and Patchwork Heart Ministry. For more information about Journeys of Faith, email info@fiatministrynetwork.tv. And be sure to friend, follow, and like us on social media. Just search Journeys in Faith with Ann DeSantis.